Lord's laid on my heart to say a few words about scarlet. It is a very bright color. It was the color of the cord that Rahab was instructed to hang from her window that identified her and her household with the people of Israel. I believe it was the royal color of Israel. The Lord Jesus was in Matthew's gospel clothed in scarlet, identifying him as the royal king according to Israel. And no doubt there are other scriptures concerning it. Let's turn, though, first of all, to the book of Numbers, chapter 19. Now, I'm not going to read a large portion here, but in this chapter we have the red heifer who was taken and burned to make the ashes of cleansing for a defiled person in Israel. And verse 5, it says, this is Numbers 19, verse 5, says, "And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, her skin and her flesh and her blood with her dung shall he burn. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water, and afterwards he shall come into the camp. The priest shall be unclean until the even." And verse 9, "And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them up without the camp in a clean place, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel. For a water of separation, it is a purification for sin." So we see here three things that were cast into the fire in the burning of this red heifer, which was to be used as cleansing. And what the Lord has laid on my heart is to apply this to us today. I believe there's moral principles here that apply to us in cleansing ourselves from sin. Just turn over to Leviticus chapter 14, and we'll also notice it there. Leviticus 14, we have it here at least twice in this chapter, and we'll read from verse 49. "And he shall take to cleanse the house two birds and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And he shall kill the one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water. And he shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet and the living bird and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water and sprinkle the house seven times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird, and with the running water, and with the living bird, and with the cedar wood, and with the hyssop, and with the scarlet." Now, I think we've often enjoyed, and it's been explained about these three things. The cedar wood was the cedar of Lebanon was the noblest of trees, and represents to us the glory of man, the high things of man and the earth that are here represented in this cedar wood. And in this case, the high thoughts of man, the pride of man, is cast, first of all, into the fire, and in the second case here, it's dipped in the blood of the bird that was slain for cleansing. And this was a process of cleansing for the leper. Now, as I'd like to take this and apply it to ourselves in a sense of cleansing from evil when we've had problems. It seems that oftentimes, brethren, we have had the experience of falling into some evil. And we repent and we confess it. And then later on, there's a repeat and we fall again. It's interesting that these three things were particularly applied at such a time of cleansing. So that the leper, for example, if you think of this leper who had been cleansed, and a dreadful disease, a disease that led to death and consumption from its disease, and it's a picture of active sin that destroys and brings us down to death. And God has made a way to be cleansed from that. But I believe sometimes that we don't take these three things and put them in the place of judgment. And that's why we fall again and again. So these were things that the leper who had been cleansed, remember, if we read the whole chapter here, or chapters 13, 14, we'd see that this leper who had been pronounced clean, there was a process that he went through to be fully cleansed. I think it's at least four times through a process of applying water and cleansing and so forth, and the birds that are slain. And over he's applied, he is pronounced clean. And this was the last of the series. And in order for that leper to be clean, he had to take these three things then and cast them. We've spoken about the cedar of Lebanon, or the cedar wood, the pride and high things of man. The hyssop is a picture of the lowly things of man. Sometimes it's been said this way, the cedar wood is a superiority complex, and the hyssop is a picture of an inferiority complex. Both have to be cast into the fire. Both have to be dipped in the blood of the bird that was slain, which is a picture of the death of Christ. And so these things have to be brought down into the place of death. But also there was the scarlet. And I would like to apply it this way, as it was the royal color of, in this case, Israel. And there was such a thing as a national pride that developed in the people of Israel who had received the covenants of God. And instead of making them a humble people, sometimes it made them a proud people. They were proud. They looked down on other nationalities. I believe that Jonah had a problem with the scarlet when he didn't want to go to preach to Nineveh. He wanted to preach to the Jews. He was pleased with God's blessing on Jews and in himself. But that God would bless another nationality, I believe he had a problem with the scarlet. I believe he hadn't taken and put that scarlet in the fire. He hadn't allowed it to be dipped in the blood. What was it that made Israel a separate people? It was God's calling them apart. It wasn't that they were a perfect people and better than every other nationality in the world. Yes, God picked them out because they were best in one sense. But that thoughts along those lines, I believe, led them in a path where sin came and destroyed that nation. And this individually can happen to us too. And we can, I would like to apply it to ourselves in the day that we live some of these thoughts, because I believe we are a favored people. I believe God has his right to choose out a special people unto himself, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's a wonderful thing to be a chosen one of God. And the color scarlet was used in the temple and in the tabernacle. It was one of the four colors there that was used in the veil. It represents properly there a royalty that is due God and his presence and his people that are there. So there is such a thing as scarlet in its right place. The Lord Jesus, in a certain sense, he was worthy to be clothed in that royal color. But brethren, after failure comes in is when these three things are mentioned in the Old Testament. Only after a failure, or in provision for a time of failure, are these three things brought into play. If Israel had never fallen into either a superiority complex or inferiority or national pride, if there would have been no lepers among them, they would have never needed to come and use these three things. And so you don't have these three things in the first chapters of Leviticus where you have the four kinds of offerings. They weren't properly necessary as far as the work of Christ in the burnt offering, in the meal offering, in the peace offering, and in the sin offering. You don't have anything mentioned about these things, these three things being the need for them to be used. But when it came a question of failure of a leper and his cleansing, then they are brought into play here. After a leper had been pronounced clean, then he was to bring those three things, as it were, with him and allow them to be put there, in the place of death. And so I would like to apply this to ourselves when we have failed, brethren. After we have failed, then there is, what about our position as a people whom God has chosen? Is there a place for us to be, to recognize ourselves or be consider ourselves a superior people? No, I believe that's the time when we need to take that scarlet. And it is a royal color. If anybody wants to stand out, dress in red, dress in scarlet. You will stand out. It is striking color. And so there's a proper place for this. But brethren, when there has been failure, it's the time to take the scarlet and put it in the fire. If that is done, I believe there won't be a reoccurrence of the failure. These three things, after we have failed, that's when it comes time to take that, your own pride, your own inferiority complex or your lowliness. You know, we can make an excuse for sin by pleading weakness. That's the hyssop. That's not an excuse. And if that lowliness of the hyssop isn't taken there and put in its proper place, I believe the leper could well think or expect, or the priest could well expect, this leprosy may appear again. This leprosy may appear again. And so, how often we see cases of, we don't need to speak about others, I'm sure I can see it in my own heart, brethren, of things that I haven't, when failure has come in, I haven't failed just once. I thought I repented. I thought I had judged the matter. But it isn't a question of just judging the sin, or just judging what brought on the leprosy in this case. There was the need to take what these three things spoke of and judge them too. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. I'd like to just kind of use what Paul says here as an example of this in Philippians 3. Chapter 3 of Philippians, we'll begin reading with verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching righteousness, the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and so on. I would like to suggest that this, at least in part, is an example to us of casting these three things in the fire or in the blood of the slain bird. Paul here, he speaks about his heritage in Israel. Now that was a noble heritage and it was proper in its place. But at this point, Israel as a nation had failed. And righteousness no longer could be obtained by that order of things of the law. And so Paul properly here, all of these things that could be used as a something to adorn himself in scarlet, if you will, he puts them in the fire. He casts them as down as dung in the presence of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, who had given him far and beyond all those things that any Jew ever could attain to according to the law. And he counts them as loss and dung that he may win Christ. The Lord Jesus had so captivated his soul that he was glad to be rid of these very things that naturally we might be take pride or pleasure in these things. And these things in their proper place would not have been out of order. But it was now a time when righteousness wasn't by the law. You might say the nation of Israel had become a leprous house, and no one in that house could be cleansed from it except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul had a good conscience now as a Jew, even though he, in that sense, he was of that nation that was so guilty, so leprous, that nation, so ruined. He found his cleansing in being identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I know that this perhaps is not exactly the thought in Philippians 3, but I'd like to apply it in that way. And I would like to apply it to ourselves, brethren, in the day that we're living here in Christendom, in the failure that has come in collectively in the house of God. We have been speaking here in the meetings about the Lord's table, and I've been very pleased with the ministry that the Lord gave us. But I think, brethren, as we would think of defining the Lord's table, we need to be careful about it, because we have failed in our testimony to these things. And the Lord has spoken to us, and he's brought his chastening hands upon us. And I would like to suggest that as a group, we need to cast the scarlet in the fire. It's God's prerogative to choose a people for himself. It's a wonderful thing to be gathered to the Lord's name and to have that sense in your souls of being at the Lord's table. But brethren, if we allow these things to lift up our hearts in any way as betraying scarlet before the world and any royalty of a chosen people, the Lord has blown on that among us. He has humbled us. And I believe the remedy for it not happening again is to put the scarlet at the feet of the Lord Jesus and to recognize that he alone has chosen us as a people. There is such a thing as being a chosen people. But in a time of ruin, in a time of failure, we ought not to wave the banner high, lest our hearts be lifted up in pride. We ought to call to God's principles, claim his promises. We don't have to give up the truth of God and holding, yes, there is one body. There is the Lord's table till he come. That is true, and it's very precious. But there is such a thing as taking that, putting it at the Lord's feet as a people chosen. Collectively here, there was such a thing as leprosy in a house. There was leprosy in garment, leprosy in the individual. And so in that sense, when we speak of the Lord's table, I think it's a collective sense and as those chosen people. Well, may the Lord teach us this in his heart, in our hearts, these things. I just felt that the Lord laid this on my heart to mention this week as I was reading the Bible. Those verses just jumped out at me, and I kind of feel a little relieved to be able to say, brethren, be careful about the scarlet.